to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. No one else in the world can fulfill the purpose God has designed just for you. His dream is your dream. So pray, seek, discover, and enjoy, my friend. Enter into that rest. His plan for you is perfect. I wish you would know God's plan for you. I know you see some of the stumbles and some of the mistakes and some of the things that happen, but His plan for you is perfect. So I want you to think about that today. Praise God. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And if you would like to hear the program Call to Freedom, it's on KLTT from 9 o'clock at night, 2:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning at 670 KLTT, and at 1220 KLDC, DC just like Darren Carmack, KLDC, you can hear us at 11 o'clock in the morning. So you can go to freedomstreet.org, or you can even go to 670KLTT.com/call to freedom. That's Crawford Station. You can hear Call to Freedom on 670KLTT.com/call to freedom. If you'd like to get in contact with Kimberly or me, email us at Barbara@freedomstreet.org or Kimberly@freedomstreet.org. And I think Grandma is the one who really named you, because we didn't have a name for you.
Oh, no, we're going to talk about this. Yes. Oh, <no. laughs> You did have a name for me. Your name was Matthew.
Yeah.
It was Matthew Thomas, because you wanted to be able to call me M.T. Wells. I just think that's really silly, but
it is.
But my maiden name was Wells. Yeah, that was the name, Wells, and you wanted to be able to have those initials, M.T. Wells.
That's right. I'm glad it was not a boy. Praise the Lord. God knew what was best. So when Grandma came to see your precious little girl, her precious little granddaughter, Kimberly, she says, well, you know, I think Kimberly would be a great name for her. And so we named you Kimberly Joe. Yep. And Joe, because I get two husbands kind of confused once in a while, but because John's grandmother, her name was Josephine. So we just tagged on that Joe for you. So you would remember.
That's me.
Yep, that's you. So that's welcome, welcome. Yesterday we were talking about dreams, and 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, Kimberly, are so good.
Yes.
It's talking about our tent being torn down, but God is going to be there to give us a new one, to give us a new body.
And He is right now.
Yes.
Right now, in this moment, when we feel like something is weak, something is torn down, we might be groaning, and that's kind of where we left off.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 2. And this is interesting. I'm just going to bring this up ahead of time so you can be listening for it. Because in verse 2 it says, for indeed in this tent, in our body, we groan, longing to be clothed. And then in verse 4 it says it again, for indeed we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. Okay, so it says it twice.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is really letting us know that he knows, he understands. He's saying, I know this is a hard life. I know how much you groan in this life, in this world, but God, He's got something for you. So let's be looking for that.
Yes.
There's something, a taste of what's to come. There's something in our everyday, ordinary lives that we can get a taste of. We can see what God is preparing for us.
Yes.
So let's start in that verse 2 again of 2 Corinthians 5. Indeed, in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Since, in fact, after putting it on, we will not be found naked. I went to the Message translation for this because being found naked is settling for something less. Mm-hmm. We're feeling unclothed. We feel like we don't have the provision, like we don't have the covering. And we don't want to be found that way. We want to be found clothed. The Message translation says it this way. We have been given a glimpse of the real thing.
Wow.
Our true home, our true clothing. Maybe we could look at it that way. Mm-hmm. Our true clothing. Our resurrection bodies. The Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's to come.
Mm, that's right.
He puts a little heaven in our hearts so that we will never settle for less. So in this life, if you feel like you're settling for less, if there's frustration in relationships or in your finances, or with your home, with your possessions, your car, mm-hmm. if your job isn't working out the way that you want it to, if you're feeling like there's less in your health, I might have already said that. I'm not keeping track of all the things I'm saying, but you know what I'm talking about, where you feel that frustration because there's less than what you had dreamt of, less than what you hoped for. Remember that your dreams and your hopes are God's dreams for mm-hmm, you. Mm-hmm. And He's got something so great prepared for you that even though you're groaning and feeling burdened now, we know, verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 5, we know that what is mortal will be swallowed up by this real life that He's got for us, true life. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now He who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Mm-hmm. For we walk by faith and not by sight.
Wow.
Let me just stop there. I'm going to stop there. We'll continue. We will continue. But this is the part that makes it tricky. We're so used to evaluating our lives by what we see. And Mom, you started this week with some teaching about our identity. Mm-hmm. And we tend to identify ourselves by what we see in this world.
Yes.
And we lose track of the real life that we are destined for, the real life that is waiting for us, and it's prepared for us right now in this present moment for us to grasp a hold of it. We just have to be still long enough to get a taste of the Lord's presence with us right now, and how He longs, His biggest dream, His longing is to be with us.
That's right.
Like a bridegroom with his bride.
Yes. On Monday, I talked to the listeners about Gideon and how he saw himself as one thing. And then the Lord, the angel of the Lord, appeared to him and continued to edify him and tell him he was a hero for the nation of Israel by asking him, or maybe not asking him, but telling him he was going to pull down his father's Baal statue and Asherah pole. And he did it. He was obedient to God. In the dark of night, he and several others pulled down those idols because that was a testing time for God to know that this man was going to go through with what He had instructed him to do. And that was defeat the Midianites. I mean, the hundreds of thousands of Midianites with 300 men, Kimberly. So, He gives us dreams and we got to walk in them. Well, Lord, I don't...
Well, and if you think about it, Gideon did that in the dark and he had to do it in the dark at night because he was going against his dad. It was his father's idols that he was pulling down.
And that's
a hard thing to do.
I know.
You think about going against your dad, that's not always an easy thing to do.
And yet again, his dad supported him the next day when these guys came and said, well, if Baal is your God, let him take care of this situation. Well, you know, Baal is just a piece of wood. And so even Joash realized that something was happening. here in the spirit. We have to look in the spirit, Kimberly, just like you're saying.
Yes.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Yes.
That's right. And we don't know when we're being obedient to what the Lord tells us to do, even if that feels like it's going against your parents or going against your boss or a leader. Mm-hmm. When it's God telling you, I want you to do this, it's important for us to walk it out because we don't know. That might cause a heart change.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, Mom. It caused a heart change in Gideon's father.
Yeah. Yes.
For Gideon to walk that out. So we want to obey God and not men.
Mm. Yes. Praise God.
So I think right now I want to go on to this, this little story that I found. It's called Oh Mr. Tent Maker, and we'll come back to 2 Corinthians 5.
Sure.
After talking about the tent maker, because this little story just really blessed me. So did you want to read this, or should I go on with it?
You go right ahead. Yes.
Okay. I feel like I'm just talking on and on for you. All right. Oh Mr. Tent Maker, it was nice living in this tent when it was strong and secure, and the sun was shining and the air was warming. But, Mr. Tentmaker, it's scary now. My tent is acting like it's not going to hold together. The poles seem weak and they shift with the wind. A couple of the stakes have wriggled loose from the sand. And worst of all, the canvas has a rip. It no longer protects me from beating rain or stinging flies. It's scary in here, Mr. Tentmaker. Last week, I was sent to the repair shop and some repairmen tried to patch the rip in my canvas. It didn't help much, though, because the patch pulled away from the edges and now the tear is worse.
Mm.
What troubled me most, Mr. Tentmaker, is that the repairmen didn't seem to notice that I was still in the tent.
Yes.
They just worked on the canvas while I shivered inside. I cried out once, but no one heard me.
That's right.
I guess my first real question is, why did you give me such a flimsy tent? I can see by looking around the campground that some of the tents are much stronger and more stable than mine. Why, Mr. Tentmaker, did you pick a tent of such poor quality for me?
Hmm.
And even more importantly, what do you intend to do about it? And then the creator and provider of tents says, oh, little tent dweller, I know all about you and your tent, and I love you both. I made a tent for myself once and lived in it on your campground. My tent was vulnerable too, and some vicious attackers ripped it to pieces while I was still in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a terrible experience, but you'll be glad to know they couldn't hurt me. In fact, the whole occurrence was as a tremendous advantage because it is this very victory over my enemy that frees me to be present to help you.
Yes.
Little tent dweller, I am now prepared to come and live in your tent with you if you will invite me. You will learn as we dwell together that real security comes from my being in your tent with you. When the storms come, you can huddle in my arms and I'll hold you.
Yes.
When the canvas rips, we'll go to the repair shop together. Someday, little tent dweller, your tent will collapse, for I've only designed it for temporary use.
Mm.
And when it collapses, you and I will leave together. I promise not to leave you before that happens. And then, free of all that would hinder or restrict, you and I will move our permanent home, and together forever we will rejoice and be glad.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that a great story? Yes. I love that story in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's the dream. The dream is for God to be in our tent with us. He did have a tent of his own, right? He had a body of his own while he was here in the form of Jesus.
Yes.
And then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit of God to be with us all the time. We just need to be aware of that. As human beings, if we will be aware that he's not judging us if we get stuck into a relationship that we're not meant to be in, or stuck in an addiction, or just having really horrible thoughts, he is not judging us. He just wants to be with us and help us in this life. Mm-hmm. Any of those things that I mentioned, whether it's addiction or the thoughts, the terrible thoughts, we just need to realize that they drag us down and they keep us in darkness. They keep us in hopelessness.
Yes.
God wants us to have hope and life more abundant. And he has made a way for that to happen in us, with us. That's the picture that we want to carry with us at all times. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. That means we walk knowing that God is with us at all times. We don't walk according to what we just see in this realm around us.
Yes.
And verse 8 says, we are of good courage, and we prefer rather to be absent from the body and home with the Lord.
Yes.
Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's our main goal. That's
yes.
his dream and our dream. And when we start giving his dream more priority, we find that our dream comes true right along with his.
Yes.
And sometimes he leads us into, like you were saying, Mom, we have experienced our home burning down. We have experienced loss in our life, but then he gives back to us. He works all things together for good.
Yes.
That's what our God does.
That's right. And when we do what David was saying in Psalm 37, verse 4, when we delight, I know that is so tough, but when we delight in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our hearts. Now, hopefully, our desires have changed with our getting to know him and loving him and knowing that his purpose on this earth is to please us and do the best for us that he can possibly do as we believe. Kimberly, sometimes I feel like his hands are tied because he can only do so much as our faith is giving him permission to do. So I'm praying that as this message is going across to our precious listeners, they will understand that we need to get into that alignment with him. I love you in your notes. You were talking about alignment. We need to get into that alignment with him so that his desires become our desires. And Psalm 37 verse 4 becomes a reality. That as we delight in him, he gives us the desires of our heart. And
well, and that's the true aligning. You know, we think of him as being the one who needs to answer our prayers, right? He needs to fix our tent. He needs to help us with our finances. He needs to whatever it is that's at the top of our lists, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what about when he gets to have his dream come true? You know, we're constantly asking him to do something for us. But what about us just learning to be still and know that he is God?
Yeah.
What about us learning to wait on the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Accommodating the King of all kings in our tent? Wow. I mean, honestly, that should make us go, wow. That's his dream, is that we would accommodate him in our tent.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that going to take for us to finally realize we're not made for ourselves and for our schedules and our routines and our hopes? And that's not what we're made for. We're made for him.
Yes.
When does he get to have his time and his space inside us? Go ahead.
No, as I was talking about Joseph at the beginning of this program, Kimberly, I'm sure that he did not even begin to grasp all that God was preparing for him, being ruler over the known earth then. I mean, really, he was second in place. But I'll tell you, Pharaoh gave him absolute approval over everything. I don't think in his wildest imaginations as a son of Jacob that he even began to think about him being a ruler of the whole world. I didn't. I think we limit God so much, and we put him in these little boxes. And it's so sad that we don't allow God to just do great and mighty things for us that are beyond our imaginations. Yes, amen. I hear you leafing through your Bible. Are you finding a verse?
I am, because I think this ties in with 1 Peter 2:9, which is your memory verse for the week. And
yes.
And in the New American Standard, it says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people, a person for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes. You know, out of the worry and the stress and the anger and the frustration of this life, into his marvelous dream. 1 Peter 2:9 is saying you're chosen. You are wanted. You are special, that you are being brought from nothing into something. And if you're trying to live in your tent, in your body, in this world, on your own, that's nothing. That's nothingness. It's not fulfilling. It's not satisfying. And you will find yourself spinning your wheels just trying to make things happen. But if you will invite God into your tent and really be prioritizing his dream, learning to be still, learning to wait on him, you will be brought from your nothingness into something. You will be brought from rejected to accepted.
That's right.
And fulfilled in the best ways.
Yes. There's a scripture in Romans 8 that talks about not only being co-heir with Jesus, joint heir, but it says in verse 15 that you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, but and we can call him Abba, Daddy. And the thing is, I've heard, Kimberly, that when we have our natural children, biological children, I mean, we got them, whether we like them or not. But when you go to adopting a baby or a child, that is a special, special person. You are delighted in adopting them and receiving them into the family. And that's exactly what Romans 8, verse 15 is talking about. We have been adopted into the beloved, his chosen generation, his royal priesthood, his holy nation. And so we are special. You're absolutely right. God sees us Gentiles, quote, Gentiles, as part now of his family, his Jewish family. Yes.
Amen. And he has broken down all the walls. You know, when we talk about ourselves as being Christians, even, he has broken down that wall. Jesus, when he came and gave his life to cover sin, it wasn't just your sin. It wasn't just my sin. It was all sin. He gave his life for all sin. He covered it all. And I know that I know that's kind of getting into a subject that some people would maybe want to fight me on. And I don't, I'm not trying to rewrite the gospel. What we want to focus on is that we are the ones who make the choice whether or not we're going to continue to live in the darkness of self-sufficiency in these little tents, or invite him into our tent and say, you know what? I can't do this life on my own. I don't even want to try to do it on my own anymore. I need you. Yes. I want your light. I want your dream to come true. And when we do that invitation, when we make that switch, life all of the sudden becomes a little bit easier in this world, even though the world is still broken. You know, it doesn't mean that our life becomes perfect. The world is broken, but all of a sudden we've got the King of all kings on our side, the creator of this world. He's with us, and his presence stabilizes us in a way that we are longing for, that we really need. I think I might have mentioned, I don't even remember now if I ever said anything on the air about the fight that I got in between a few weeks ago. I stopped a fight in a parking lot, and I was shaking, but God asked me to stop the fight. Oh. And I knew that he needed me between those two men because those men were his sons.
Oh, Kimberly. Oh.
And they had forgotten. They had forgotten that they were his sons.
Yes.
And he wanted me to stop them from damaging each other. And you know, sometimes we just have to be willing to step in and remind somebody, you are seen by God. He loves you. You know what? One of those young men started coming to our church. He's been coming every week with his wife and baby. And it has been such a special relationship to actually be a part of someone recognizing, I can't live in this tent by myself. Mm-hmm. All it brings me is darkness. I need you, God, with me. And that's what we're talking about. When God comes into your tent and dwells with you in this broken world, he fixes the areas of your life that have been damaged and traumatized, those areas that are so easily triggered. He just takes that trigger and calms the storm.
Oh,
he
does.
Says, peace be still. That's and right. He brings perfect calm.
Yes. Oh, that we would not be embarrassed by inviting him to our home. And, you know, I'm talking about earthly, but I'm also talking about our spiritual home, that we don't feel unworthy or inferior or guilty or condemned or fearful. Oh, he couldn't accept me. But Kimberly, he loves everyone, everyone, everywhere. He, yes. For God so loved the world. We say that all the time. He loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, the whole world. So we ask you to remember, God loves you more than anything else. Take joy, my friend, take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.